good, everybody. Welcome back to the 19th episode of the Young Pyromancers podcast. I am your host, Ezra, also known as Jeskai Man, but also with me today. Whatever. Miles, Mr. Aristocrats.
And Just Charlie.
And Miss Muldrotha.
And Mr. Hand.
Charlie.
Miss Muldrotha, aka Mr. Hand Sanitizer.
Just Charlie.
Welcome, everyone, to the cast. Today is C20, Timeless Wisdom. We finally made it. Last deck upgrade out of the five. And yeah, we are now in week five of quarantine.
Yeah, week five,
but still puttering along. And yeah, we've got another deck tech for you today. Today's the Jeskai or Ketria, as they're calling it in.
Or the most value.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, not Ketria, Rogrin. Rogrin is the Triome in Ikoria.
Yeah.
And so yeah, last one, this is the Cycling Commander led by Gavi Nest Warden. But before we get in, I would like to discuss my podcasting situations we're in. We're all in our own houses because we can't go anywhere. But the places that I podcast have rapidly degraded. And now I'm just sitting at like a low table in the middle of my room with a giant stuffed bear and leftover Easter candy. So this is like where we've degenerated to.
Yeah, I'm just about there, basically.
Yeah, except minus the giant teddy bear.
Yeah, sadly.
Big boy says hello. My teddy bear's name is Tiny. It's pretty great.
Fantastic. Okay. So.
Alrighty, yeah, let's get in there. Gavi Nest Warden.
Charlie, you read it, because this
also
is your favorite deck.
Gavin
Verhey Nest Warden.
Yeah, so this is actually my favorite deck, as you said. Not the Sultai deck, surprisingly. But so Gavi Nest Warden is 2 into Jeskai, so 2, a blue, a red, and a white. For a 2/5 legendary creature, human shaman.
Jamin.
Shaman.
I'm gonna keep doing this.
So, the ability says, you may pay 0 rather than pay the cycling cost of the first card you cycle each turn, and whenever you draw your second card each turn, create a 2/2 red and white dinosaur cat creature token.
Dinosaur cat, full stop, amazing.
Yeah, this is an awesome commander, in my opinion. I think that cycling is one of my favorite mechanics.
I agree.
But it's a very strong ability to cycle for free. And there hasn't been a ton of cycling support in EDH. And this is a really fun commander. And in Jeskai, which is one of the stronger color combinations. So, and this is an awesome deck as well. So this is pretty cool. But we got some backup commanders.
Yeah, power...
I think that both of you guys are pretty excited about this deck.
Yeah.
I feel about this one as I felt about the human one.
The human one?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to prove you wrong.
Well, no, I know that it's a good deck. I know it's a good deck. It's just not my play style.
Miles' favorite colors are black and green. So, like,
it's just
everything but black and green. So, this is kind of a more less straightforward deck. Yeah. Miles is like,
I play face, very straightforward.
Things. It's just, I play big stupid thing, I bash you in face, you die.
Or I'm Mr. Aristocrats.
Which is why both of your commander decks have to do with smacking your opponent with the commander, so.
This is indeed true.
Yeah. Alright, so this deck revolves around just cycling stuff, lots of cycling support in the deck, but there are some other commanders that do exist in this deck. So Akeem the Soaring Wind is 2 Two blue, red, and white. Toon Jeskai for legendary creature bird dinosaur. 3/4 flying, and whenever you create one or more tokens for the first time each turn, create a 1/1 white bird creature token with flying. And then 3 and Jeskai. Creature tokens you control gain double strike until end of turn. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's just not the command.
Has some comparability to the Locust God in that it creates tokens, but I feel like it's kind of tricky.
That's about as far off as those.
Yeah, the trigger to create tokens to create more is not actually necessarily super easy unless you have something that's producing tokens. But nonetheless, this is pretty cool. Creating tokens, you create birds and you make them really powerful. And it's 5 mana for a 3/4 flying bird dinosaur. So I think this is a cool commander.
This is basically Kaiko's brother from another mother.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a cool commander. It's not a cycling commander, I wouldn't say. But it's definitely cool, and it's definitely good in this deck.
Yeah, what I was going to say is if you compare this to the Locust God, it's like those Siege Rhino charts on Reddit. Where it's like, what's the card? What's the really stupid card? That's like really not. Charging Badger. Huh?
Ebony Rhino.
No, I know, but what?
Charging Badger.
No, there was just this one random card. Yeah, Charging Badger is a Siege Rhino because they both have trample.
Yeah.
So, and now we can use that logic to say that Almighty Brushwag is a Siege Rhino. Because Siege Rhino does a bunch of stuff, but each of the characteristics like is similar to other cards. Some people like make the connection that like this is a Siege Rhino. But anyways, Akeem, pretty cool. I do really like the partner set for this deck.
I love the art on one of them in particular. First we have Brawlin, Sky Shark Raider for 3 and a red, 3/3 legendary creature human shaman. Partner with Shabraz the Sky Shark, which, yes, it's as amazing as it sounds. Whenever you discard a card, put a +1/+1 counter on Brawlin Sky Shark Raider, and it deals 1 damage to each opponent. And you can pay red, target shark gains trample until end of turn. So even this alone has synergy with the deck, because your cycling requires you to discard. And then...
Oh yeah, mono red shark tribal.
Yeah, and then... Nice. The other partner is Shabraz the Sky Shark. It is 3, a white, and a blue for a 3/3 legendary creature shark bird. And yes, it is just a shark with wings, and it's the best. It has partner with Brawlin, it has flying, and whenever you draw a card, put a +1/+1 counter on Shabraz the Sky Shark, and you gain 1 life. Target human gains flying and then you can pay an Azorius hybrid mana. Target human gains flying until end of turn. This partner you could definitely run as the commanders in your deck.
Yeah, I think so.
Right. Not specifically. I mean, this would be actually fine for this deck. I don't think it's stronger than Gavi.
Definitely not.
Like, for this deck specifically. Yeah. But, like, this in its own right, as its own deck, like, I think it'll be quite strong.
Right.
Just like as its own deck, Brawlin and Shabraz.
Yeah.
I think that's a strong deck.
Yeah, mana, basically you just ramp into them and then cycle your entire deck, and now there's just, you have these two massive things.
Yeah, it doesn't even need to be cycling. You can just like wheel, because it triggers every time you draw a discard. And both of these commanders are just solid creatures by themselves, so they're definitely good. And they're definitely going to see at least some decks made with them as the commanders.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think,
and it's fine. Even just part of the 99, they're also really good because they've got really good synergy with the deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, at first when I read this card, I was upset that Shabraz didn't say, whenever you draw a card, put a +1/+1 counter on Shabraz the Sky Shark and draw a card. I was like, that would be really fun. And then I realized that it wouldn't be fair at all. Whenever you draw a card.
So basically...
Yeah, my brain wasn't working.
So basically...
I was like, oh man, I wanted that to be
You get
boring.
It out turn 6, and you win.
It's not even tone 6. It could be like tone 4 because you ramp on 3.
Right, but then yeah. Like you have to draw. So I'm thinking just like draw step.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, this thing just gets consistently bigger every turn.
Right. No, this Shabraz is pretty good. Like just draw lots of cards. Combine this with Well of Lost Dreams. That's a very good combo.
Man, this is. You know what? I'm happy with this deck because it's got a shark bird in it.
Agreed. Shark bird makes everything worth it. Alright, notable reprints in this deck are the Locust God, Chandra Flamecaller, Descend Upon the Sinful is a pretty good board wipe. There's also Fluctuator, the Signets, Arcane Signet Soul Ring, same as the other decks, and then Tectonic Reformation. And for some of the lands, Sky Cloud Expanse was one of the Odyssey Signet lands, and that was expensive. Also, Reliquary Tower.
Oh, they reprinted Reliquary Tower.
Yeah, that's, we did say that's what one of the key cards that we wanted reprinted for C20. So, yeah, happy. We're good with
definitely.
That.
Definitely.
Okay.
Pretty cool that they reprinted the Locust God.
No, yeah, no, I do really like the Locust God reprint. Like, that is a very fun reprint.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. Anyways, let's get into 10 in, 10 out.
Yep.
First card, we are removing Martial Impetus. Martial Impetus is
the
2 and a white for an enchantment or a enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and is goaded, which means it attacks each combat if able and attacks another player other than you if able. Whenever enchanted creature attacks, each other creature that's attacking one of your opponents gets +1/+1 until end of turn, and flop.
Yeah, I feel like the Impetus have just become like the butt of a joke. In a sense.
Charlie's still defending his Impetus buddies.
Yeah, I mean, I've...
Charlie, I think you disagree with Martial Impetus in this deck, for sure.
I've come to terms with most of them, but... Yeah, I think Martial Impetus is...
Hey, we kept one of them in here for
you. You're making a lot of tokens, sure, but the synergy in the deck is not focused on taking advantage of the tokens as much, necessarily, as it is just creating them. It's fine. It's cool to have a lot of tokens and make them big and stuff, but the synergy here is
really the deck.
Cycling your card.
Right.
And so one of those cards that does cycle and also has a strong ability is Rebuild. So Rebuild is well known as a vintage card because it's very strong in, well, not necessarily, but so Rebuild, I'll just read it. Rebuild is 2 and a blue for an instant. Return all artifacts to their owner's hands. And Rebuild has cycling for 2 colorless. So, Rebuild has cycling, which is important in this deck, of course.
Right.
So, it does everything we want it to do. We don't necessarily care about the actual text, but the ability to return all artifacts to those owner hands can be very good in case someone is playing an Urza deck or something like it, or they're just getting out very fast with Artifact Ramp, or, you know, a white deck playing Artifact Ramp just wants to not feel very good about themselves.
Right.
Yeah, so this is just a solid card and has cycling, so no bad things there.
Yeah, it's a small-ish board wipe. We can also use it to... I mean, we don't have a ton of artifact synergy in the deck. But yeah, we do have potential cards that... Like, let's say we have Soul Ring out in the battlefield. You can bounce it, and then you replay it, and that's actually giving you an extra mana.
Yeah, hypothetically, if you have enough ramp out, you can do that.
Seems pretty good. Yeah, we haven't really done a lot of testing with any of these decks because they don't exist yet.
It takes a while to do the 10 in, 10 out.
Yeah. All right, next card that is being removed.
Now we can begin the tiers. The next card we're getting rid of is Psychic Impetus. It is 2 and a blue for an enchantment aura, enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and is goated. Whenever enchanted creature attacks, you scry 2. Personally, I don't actually... I think that this card could stay in the deck.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. We just couldn't think of that many other cards you can remove. Cryptic Trilobite is a card that is in the deck that was, like, on the edge of being removed, as was Windfall. So those are two cards that if you want to keep in your Psychic Impetus, or if you have a play group or play style that you would like to keep this card in, if you're like Charlie, then you can remove stuff like Cryptic Trilobite or Agitator Ant. Those are cards that other content creators are removing from this deck. And yeah, so I mean, you can keep this in the deck. Like, this is one of the cards that we were kind of just like, eh, you can keep it in, you can take it out. Just you do what you want. This is supposed to be a guide. It's not to be like, you have to do this 10 and 10 out, 10 and 9 out. Otherwise, your deck is going to be terrible. No, that's fine. So, like, yeah. But there's some better cards that we do want to put in there, such as Iron Crag Pyromancer. Iron Crag Pyromancer is 2 in a red for a creature, human, wizard, and 0/4. And whenever you draw your second card each turn, Iron Crag Pyromancer deals deals $3 to any target, also known as damage. Yeah, you just hit stuff whenever you draw cards. It's again, it's fine. You get a Lightning Bolt every time you draw your second card. And so when we have Gavi and we cycle something, or and then we play another card, then we... Or if we cycle another card, every time we draw two cards, we just get to bolt something. Just don't bolt yourself. That's the only downside of this card.
Yeah.
Zenith Flare is the next card that we are removing from the deck.
Yep, so Zenith Flare is 2, a red and a white for an instant. So Zenith Flare does X damage to any target, and you gain X life, where X is the number of cards with a cycling ability in your graveyard. So I don't think this card is fantastic. It's a Boros essentially kill spell in this deck, but it's 4 mana to deal a lot of damage to a creature and gain a number of life. So I mean,
I'd rather just
it's fine. Yeah, really.
I think we actually did a big dumb. This is episode 18.
Yeah. I feel like this is like maximum deal 4 damage. It's 4 mana, deal like 10 or 15 damage to a target, and you gain 10 or 15 life. But I mean, it's fine if you're really trying to gain life that much. I mean, you can just run like, I don't know, Beacon of Immortality or something if you really want to gain life.
No,
but
I'd much rather have a repeatable effect, such as a Glinthorn Buccaneer.
Smooth.
Woo! Glinthorn Buccaneer is 1 red for a 2/4 creature, Minotaur Pirate, with haste. Whenever you discard a card, Glinthorn Buccaneer deals 1 damage to each opponent, and you can pay 1 in a red to discard a card. Draw a card, activate this ability only if Glinthorn Buccaneer is attacking. Okay.
All around super good card, just deal lots of damage.
Right. I just wanted to say one more thing about Zenith Flare. I think that if it said divided among targets, it would be a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
Or if it was like deal X damage to each player and you gain X life. Or like each opponent.
Yeah, something like that. They made it into more of like a board wipe kind of thing, not just like a kill one thing.
Okay, yeah. What if it was 2 white red for deal X damage to... Deal X damage to
X targets, you gain X life.
No, that would be stupid. Deal X damage to target or all creatures your opponents control. Oh wait, never mind. That's a bad idea.
I don't know how this would work functionally, but
yeah,
maybe because
this is also in the standard set. We have to remember that.
Oh yeah, well,
it's supposed to be that.
I mean, there's not that much cycling support in standard, but
yeah.
I mean, there's discard
well,
draw.
I mean, this would have been better closer to Omnigrad.
I think maybe, I don't know how this would work, like, in reality, but maybe it could be something like 2 red and white for the same effect, but you can choose any number. You can choose X targets, up to X targets for the spell, where X is the number of cards with cycle in your graveyard, but if you choose more targets, you deal less damage. I don't know.
I think it's a fine card design. Yeah. I think it's fine card design. It's just not a very good card.
Yeah, it's just a little overcosted.
Yeah. Well, what if they just did the same thing, but it was 3 mana? It wouldn't be too good for standard, but it'd also be fine commander.
I think it's better. I think this is just very, very dependent on cycling, and it's just kind of narrow.
Yeah. Anyways, Glenhorn Buccaneer in for Zenith Flare. Next up, a card that Charlie and Miles can agree with me on. Bonder's Ornament, 3 mana, artifact, tap, add 1 mana of any color, and then 4 and tap it. Each player who controls a permanent named Bonder's Ornament draws a card. Basically, 5 mana, you draw a card, but then you might give other people a card, and it's just manaless.
It's a potentially poopier manaless.
It's not a good card.
We hate on it a lot, and it's fun to hate on it.
Better than a manalith. It's technically strictly better than a manalith, but I don't actually know how much better it is than a manalith.
It doesn't feel as
clean. Yeah, I'd much rather play just a more simple thing, and you always want to be ramping on turn 2 is so much more powerful than ramping on turn 3.
Yeah, really.
Because, like, otherwise you're doing nothing turn 1, turn 2, but you want to be ramping turn 1, turn 2, and then on turn 3 you can have 4 mana, and that's very strong. Anyways, we can replace it with the talismans. We've been replacing a lot of these bad mana rocks with talismans. Talisman of Conviction.
Yep, so we kind of established that Bonder's Ornament is not ideal, and we'd rather have 2 mana ramp in, specifically talismans is what we've been using. So Talisman of Conviction is the Boros Talisman, so it's 2 colorless for an artifact. You can tap for colorless, or it can tap for either a red or a white, and Talisman of Conviction deals 1 damage to you.
It's literally, like, they're making a lot of these mana rocks that are quite similar to, lands. So, like, Thought Vessel is literally just Reliquary Tower, and then Arcane Signet is Command Tower. And then Talisman of Conviction is just Battlefield Forge, stapled to a 2 mana artifact. So it does the same thing as the Pain Lands, these talismans. And then the Signets were the same as the Odyssey Lands, but that was a little bit farther back, and those lands aren't used as much. But yeah, no, I think the talismans are good. The life is usually inconsequential, and they're cheap, 60, 70 cents. Alright, next card we are removing is Savai Thundermane.
Savai Thundermane is a red and a white for a 3/2 creature elemental cat. Whenever you cycle a card, you may pay 2. When you do, Savai Thundermane does 2 damage to target creature and you gain 2 life. It's meh.
I mean, 2 mana 3/2, this is a very good card in limited because it's a 2 mana 3/2. Yeah. But otherwise, it's just kind of just not great. And I mean, I feel like you don't want to pay 2 mana when you're cycling stuff just to deal 2 damage to something.
If it was a shock, I think it'd be a lot better.
Oh, what do you mean?
Like 1 mana for it.
Oh, I see.
Or if it was 3 damage, 3 life.
The card that we're going to be putting in is Talisman of Creativity, which is the Izzet. Talisman. Not said.
Yeah. It's ramp.
Yeah.
That is all there is to end the topic. So, the next card we're going to be removing here is, I'm going to make sure I say this right, Ethereal Forager. Sorry. So, yeah, Ethereal Forager is 4 red and red for a 3/3 creature elemental whale with delve.
Red.
So this is a mechanic we haven't seen.
The whale?
Sorry, correction. That's 4 blue-blue, not 4 red-red.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so 4 blue-blue for a 3/3 creature elemental whale with delve, flying, and whenever Ethereal Forager attacks, you may return an instant or sorcery card exiled with Ethereal Forager to its owner's hand. So this is a really cool card. The kind of design here is that you you would assume you cycle some cards, specifically some instant or sorceries with Ethereal Forager. Or you cycle them and then you exile them, paying for Ethereal Forager's cost with its Delve ability. And then when Ethereal Forager attacks, you can get these instant sorceries back in your hand and either cast them, or you can cycle them again. So I think this is it's a cool card, but...
Yeah, I just don't think it's amazing in this deck, because we don't actually have a critical mass of instant sorceries in this deck.
I mean...
It's 12.
There's not quite enough for this card to not just be just another Grim Egg Angler, which... It's just like a big creature with Delve, which is not terrible, but I mean, you can do better things, especially in a deck that's not focused on Stompy.
It's also not a deck that's focused on instants and sorceries.
Yeah.
So for Ethereal Forger, we're putting in...
Lo and behold, we are putting in a instant. We are putting in Forsake the Worldly. It is 2 and a white for an instant. Exile target artifact or enchantment, and you can cycle it for 2. Cycling synergy, artifact, enchantment removal. Simple, enough said.
Yeah, I mean, it's slightly high cost, but we think it's fine. Just, you know, it cycles. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, the exile.
Exile clause can be relevant. There's like no drawback to playing cards with cycling in this deck, even if they're not like ideal, because situationally they could be useful, but if they're not, you can cycle them and that's perfectly effective and useful in this deck. So it's nice.
Yeah, we're gonna...
It's nice to have that ability.
Yep, so Ethereal Forger out, Forsake the Worldly in. Next out, Temple of the False God. It taps, it's a land, it taps for 2 colorless mana. And you can only activate it if you control 5 or more lands. This is essentially not a land. Mm-hmm. I don't count it as a land in any list that I ever make, because it's not a land unless you have 5 lands or 4 other lands.
Yep, so on turns 1 to 4, essentially, this is not a land, especially in a Jeskai deck.
No, I like this more in green decks, because you're actually land ramping.
Yeah. But I mean,
and you can activate it sooner, because then it's ramp. But I count this normally as a really bad Sol Ring.
Yeah, it takes up a land drop, and it's just not ideal. So, I mean, it's fine in like very specific decks that are trying to land ramp really fast or need a lot of colorless mana. But there's really better things we can do with ramp, and one of those things is Mind Stone. So Mind Stone is 2 colorless for an artifact that taps for a colorless, and then you can pay 1, tap, and sacrifice Mind Stone to draw a card. So, I mean, Mind Stone's a pretty well-known card. It's just a 2 mana artifact ramp card that if you want to, can draw you a card. So nothing wrong with this. It's just a fine, good ramp
card. Right, so later in the game, you turn it into card draw.
Instead of just a slightly questionable land.
Yeah, because I just don't think Temple of the False God, it's severely overplayed. It's an overplayed card. It should be seen less play than it is.
I agree. All right,
next card we're removing.
Is Spirit Cairn. It is 2 and a white for an enchantment. Whenever a player discards a card, you may pay white. If you do, create a 1/1 spirit creature token with flying.
Okay.
I like Drakehaven a lot more than this. That's a card that's in the deck.
Also,
If it was, you gotta pay white mana.
If it was like, if you didn't have to pay, I think it'd be so much. It would be so much better.
Oh well, that would be dumb. Whenever a player discards a card, just make a token.
Exactly.
That would be a very strong card, but it would also be cost. A lot this just, more, but I would like that card design.
Yeah, this just makes your cycling more expensive, and again, like we said, there's just not a lot of, like, overrun effects or token real token payoffs in this deck. So, I mean, it's Akeem. Just kind of sketchy in this deck, especially with most of our board wipes in this deck being damage based. So, and that means all of our tokens died to it, and it's just not ideal, to say the least.
Yeah, Tiny the Giant Teddy Bear does not like Spirit Cairn. Tiny the Giant Teddy Bear wants to put in Astral Slide.
Makes sense.
Astral Slide is 2 and a white, and it says whenever a player discards cycles a card, you may blink a creature. And then it comes back at the end step.
So,
you exile something, and then it waits until the end step and comes back.
Yeah, so this is a strictly worse Astral Drift, and that sounds discouraging, but...
It's not strictly worse.
Oh, is it?
Because if the other player is playing Gavi as well...
Oh, whenever a player, sorry. I misread that. No, it's not you. So it is not strictly better. I that's very regrettable of me because it's kind of a touchy subject and strictly worse or better. But Astral Slide is good and it's very, very similar to Astral Drift in that it exiles creatures, it returns them. And so it can either be a blink, which although there is not a lot of synergy in the deck, could be relevant. But it's mostly some kind of necessary temporary creature removal that can be essentially permanent with you cycling every single turn, and it just never comes back for a period longer than the end step.
Yeah, Astral Slide's a good card. Astral Drift is one of the stronger cards in the deck because it has so much versatility, and we can just blink like random stuff. So I think this is a good addition to the deck. Because now we have 2 copies of Astral Drift. There are even people who are running stuff like Idyllic Tutor and other enchantment tutors, like Enlightened Tutor, and they're upgrading it into this deck just to search up the Astral Slide and Astral Drift because of how strong they are just with cycling every turn. So yeah, it just shows how powerful the effect of being able to blink stuff just whenever you want. That's why I love my Rune deck, because it's so versatile. Rune, I can blink my own creatures, but I've also blanked Miles as a Trotter for like 4 turns in a row with Rune.
It was so mean. I just wanted to get him.
And then, yeah, I just wouldn't let the Trotter go anywhere because you just exile it with Rune. But yeah, Astral Drift and Astral Slide can do the same thing. All right, we're almost there. Descend Upon the Sinful.
Yep, so we're going to be removing Descend Upon the Sinful. So... it is 4 a white and a white for a sorcery. Exile all creatures. That's all. But Descend Upon the Sinful has Delirium. So you put a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying onto the battlefield if there are 4 or more card types among cards in your graveyard after you exile all creatures. So it's a 6 mana exile all creatures, but you might be able to get a 4/4 white angel. It's fine, but it's kind of expensive, and I think we can do better in this deck, especially with there being some board wipes with cycling.
such as Starstorm. Starstorm is X red. Very well done, Charlie. For an instant, and Starstorm deals X damage to each creature, and it has cycling for 3. It's a board wipe. Yeah. I was going to say it could be a selective board wipe, but then none of our stuff is very big, so it's just kind of a board wipe. But it also, we can cycle it, so therefore it's better.
It's all about Dino Cats, which is sad. But yeah, cycling, just cycle it away for 3 mana. It's fine.
Or for 0 mana.
And I'm just confused. Right. I'm still confused why they put this in the Teemo deck and not this deck. If they were putting it in the Teemo deck already and already sending it to the print house, they should have just put it in this deck as well. Instead of Descend Upon the Sinful. But Descend Upon the Sinful, I think, is literally just here because those Decree of Justice is in the deck and it creates angels. So they didn't just want to like have like one card make a 4/4 angel and then they have to print an angel card. Like, I always feel like they're kind of disappointed when they... or it must be kind of annoying when they like, try to print tokens. In like last year's pre-con, they had to print 3... three assassin trophies for tokens for Vraska. So they because she makes the assassin tokens.
Yeah, I mean it's eh. I think WotC can deal with it.
Yeah, I don't think this was even a good idea to put in the deck. Like, it doesn't need a reprint. It was 75 cents.
It's okay. It's fine. Whatever.
It's fine. I mean, we're just taking it out of the deck because it's not very strong. All right, our last removal is Portal Mage. Portal Mage is 3 and a blue for a creature human wizard. Two and a blue. Creature human wizard. 2/2 flash, and when it enters the battlefield during the declare attacker step, you may reselect which player or planeswalker target attacking creature is attacking. This is basically fun in one circumstance, when your opponent is attacking you with a Zugo Helm Smasher when their companion is Obosh the Prey Piercer.
Yeah, and then they play an Embercleave.
I was trying to brew that up this afternoon.
But I mean, it's just...
Oh, Zugo with double strike. So you have to equip it with Fire Shrieker, and so it gives it double strike, and then also you have a Dictate of the Twin Gods and Obosh, and then you swing with your 7/2 Zugo, and then it gets doubled twice, and then it also has double strike. I don't even know how the triggers get managed. All I know is that you definitely kill them with commander damage.
Yeah, but
it's a fun trick. It's a fun trick. It's like a political trick, yeah, and stuff.
It's cool. It just doesn't actually do
not in this
that deck. Much.
Just not in this deck.
Yeah,
that's how we feel about a lot of these cards. Deck.
It's good in like maybe like a zombie or something, but I mean, it's just not really what we want to be doing. Just yeah. A card.
So we're just gonna read off. Some cards for my core.
No, we gotta say what we're replacing Portal Mage with.
I'm really speeding ahead.
Yeah.
My bad. Okay, yeah.
Alright, so the card we're gonna be putting in, and this is pretty nifty if I might say so myself. We're gonna be putting in Bag of Holding, which is 1 mana for an artifact. And so Bag of Holding says, whenever you discard a card, exile that card from your graveyard. And you can pay 2 and tap Bag of Holding to draw a card and discard a card. Then, you can pay 4 and tap and sacrifice Bag of Holding to return all cards exiled with Bag of Holding to their owner's hand. So this is really good, or cool, I'll say. But Bag of Holding essentially lets you to get back every card you would cycle, as long as it doesn't get removed, which is super, super strong. So you're just doing so much, and it's like, if this doesn't get removed, which chances are it will, but it's okay, you can rebuild. This is just such a good engine, and the ability to get every card
you crack it in response.
It's just great. Yeah.
Yeah, the thing with these, wait, it doesn't say activate only at time you could cast.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is, yeah.
So you can just crack Bag of Holding in response, so they wouldn't actually want to replay it, like, instead of trying to force you to do it, they just don't remove it.
And
so they're just not going to remove it. It's a 1-man artifact. They're not going to try to remove it.
I mean, it has such a high power for a 1-man artifact. And the just making one of your opponents cast a removal spell, an artifact, an enchantment that could be cast on something like a Fluctuator is just really hurts them, so... It's a good card.
Yeah, and then
it's a very good card.
2 and tap it to loot. Like, that's fine by itself. Like, even if we're not doing anything with the cycling, being able to pay 2 and tap it and just to loot, 2 mana to loot is, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's really not, it's also not a loot because the card gets discarded, so it's like drawing 1.5 cards, essentially.
Yeah. It's just a really good card. And the art is pretty nice, too.
I do like the art and the flavor text. There's no prepared, like, over-prepared, and you just see, like, a dragon spilling out of the... Oh, it's a dinosaur or something. It's a dinosaur.
Very fun.
There's a dinosaur and a crossbow and axe and another crossbow and I don't even know. Oh, there's an octopus or some sort of sea serpent.
Okay.
Spilling out. Also, like a shovel.
Before we move on, I have to say one thing. Charlie, please, for my sanity, don't say nifty again.
Nifty?
Or you as well.
What's wrong with nifty? Nifty, nifty, nifty. Huh? Wait, Charlie, you glitched out.
50-50 United States from 13 original colonies.
Oh, is this why you... We sang this annoying song in fifth grade. So that's... Wait, is that why you're, why where your hate of the word nifty comes from?
Nifty just makes me feel like I'm old.
Like you're moist?
No, like I'm old. Not like I'm moist.
Moist.
Crisp.
Crisp? Crisp doesn't...
I know, it's not as bad as moist. What about moisten?
Moist. Moisten? I don't know. Okay, anyways, 50 nifty United States. Ikoria cards.
That we would have put in, but we just don't know how much they're going to cost.
Yeah, I think we don't have a ton of time remaining, so I'm just going to spill through these. Grand Stinger, Shark Typhoon, Avian Oddity, Splendor Mare, Unpredictable Cyclone, and then Rogren Triome is the rare land. All very good cards. Go check those out. They're Grand Stinger deals damage to stuff when you cycle. Shark Typhoon is sharks, you know, sad. Avian Oddity and Splendor Mare both put tokens, like keyword counters on stuff for cycling. Unpredictable Cyclone's a weird cycling type thing. And then Rogren Triome, I talked about that. That was the Jeskai, this is the Jeskai cycling land. And, yeah, we're finished with our deck tech. And, oh, I forgot to pitch this to you guys, but I have a new game.
What? Why?
We're going to click the random generator. Huh?
Why can't we talk about the cards?
Because they're lame. Okay, whatever. We can, because I'd rather do this.
Okay, we'll just go with Ezra. It's too late now.
This is more fun. Okay, here's my idea. We click the random generator on Scryfall, and then for like... We're gonna like have a conversation, except you have to be that card.
This sounds like a terrible idea. This cannot go anywhere good.
We'll just see what happens. We'll see what happens. All right, but it's also our favorite button on the internet, so let's go ahead and click that.
Yeah, you know, I can't really argue with Ezra saying that, though.
Yeah, favorite button on the internet. All right, ready. Does everyone have Scryfall random ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ready, 3, 2, 1. Go.
I got an island, so I don't have to say anything. Hurrah.
Click again.
Darn. I got roots. Okay.
Roots. Okay. Anyways,
I'm gonna grab your ankles.
I'm the best card in
from Alpha.
Get out of here.
Give me Dempose.
Are you serious? Alright, well, at least I'm a good boy. I'm only 5 cents, unlike my friend over here who's like $4,000.
What'd he get?
Yeah.
Mox Ruby.
Alpha.
How much is it?
I think it was, I clicked off it, but it's, I think it was like 3,700.
Oh,
nice. I'm 8 cents over here with my friends.
Your friends, do you want a Mox Ruby or do you want Ezra's Magic Collection? Mox Ruby, because it's worth more. I think it's pretty close to Mox Ruby being worth more than all of our Magic Collections combined. Like, it might actually be pretty close.
It might.
If it's 3,700, I think it's close.
Eh.
I mean, is your... Yeah. No, I'd say mine is worth, like, maybe less. I think mine's, like, $1,000 or so. Like, if you add up all the cards. It was worth more until, like, a bunch of stuff, like, plummeted in my collection. But also... Yeah, well, all the card prices are going down because of Corona. But... I'm Geist Flame, and I'm a 1-mana instant, and I deal 1 damage to any target, but I also flashback for 3 in a red. And I'm a trash nugget, but I'm 5 cents.
I'm gonna grab your ankles. Give me them toes.
Well, my dude's like this fiery dragon dude, and he'll eat your face off. Except he's only gonna deal one damage to you.
All I have to say is I'm gonna get your toes.
I'm gonna eat your ankles.
I'm gonna get your toes.
Okay.
Give me them toes.
Alrighty, wait, so, yeah, we've got guild trivia. Next guild up is, we did Rakdos, yep. So we've got, our very nice friends, very calm, good for drinking tea with. You sit down and you all dress up like, princesses. Furries. Hmm?
Slesnia?
No. Gruul.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, dress up like princesses. Who's the? Okay, yeah, the Gruul clans, red, green. They are all about chaos and destruction, and
but not so not the wild. They're about rioting nature. Specifically, which is one of their.
Yeah, we'll get
one
there.
Of the keywords.
Who is the Perun?
The who? The what?
It's Niv-Mizzet.
Perun. Original Guildmaster. Niv-Mizzet is one of the Perun.
I know.
Well, I can think of like three legends in Gruul.
Okay, yeah, but then who was the original Guildmaster? Does not have a card.
Huh.
Was absorbed into Svogthyr's own corpse.
What?
Is it Ilharg?
Wields an axe named
No.
Skullhammer. No, Ilharg is their boar god that they worship. You're never gonna get this. Caesarim.
What?
Caesarzim. Caesarzim.
Alright, continue, Ezra, because okay, neither then, Charlie or I have any clue.
Yeah, okay, and then who's the guild leader? Oh, who was the guild leader who took over? Who was the guild... Well, okay, so yes, Borbrigmos was the guild leader, but then someone took it over for the Borzok.
Domri?
Domri, yep. So, Domri Raid took over. But yeah, Borbrigmos is the current guild leader now, probably, they say. Although it's kind of informal that he's like the leader. He's just the biggest and baddest Gruul
Cyclops,
dude, yeah. So therefore he is guild leader.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, other notable...
I can smash your head into the ground harder than you can smash my head into the ground. I'm leader.
Yeah, exactly. Nakia, Rorikthal, and Ulash the Hateseed, they are other notable Gruul people. What is the guild hall?
The one that you pay X red green and tap.
That's Keseg Wolfram and nobody. It's from Innistrad. They call it the Rage Pits.
Oh, I know this.
Oh, yep.
Starts with an S. It's not Sizzix.
Nope.
Skizzix.
Ends with a G.
I don't know.
SK?
Yeah, I know it's SK.
A.
Ska.
R.
Scarred. Scar.
Skog.
Scar.
Skog the Rage Pits. Yeah, Skog the Rage Pits is their guild hall. It is a land. It taps for colorless. And then also, if I can pull this up. Oh, okay, it has taps to add colorless and also red, green, and tap it. Target creature gets +1/+1 and gains trample until end of turn. I think this is one of the best Guildhall lands from original Ravnica. But, yeah. So, Gruul, pretty cool. And now let's talk about their mechanics.
Riot.
Their original one. Okay, yeah, Riot was their new Ravnica, Ravnica 3. Ravnica 1. What was Ravnica 1?
I've got Riot. That's what I'm giving you, Charlie.
Okay. The Gruul mechanics.
Ravnica 1, start there. So original Ravnica block.
Oh, I know it. Tribute.
Nope, that was Theros.
Well, Tribute is a mechanic, right?
Yep.
Tell me it is.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. Oh, what, Tribute's a mechanic, but it's not. It is associated with Gruul, but that was on Theros. So, here's a hint. This was, this mechanic was later integrated into other codes. Specifically, M12 used it.
I don't know if I played an M12.
Yeah, none of us played an M12. We were like 5.
Well, I mean, maybe I have some cards from M12.
Well, M12 came out in 2011, so like... I think we were literally like in kindergarten learning how to read. I doubt we played Magic.
I think there's... Oh, I think I got one of them. There's that, that one... you like discard it and you pay mana and it gets bigger.
Yep, that the pump spell one. Blood Rush.
Oh,
yep,
yeah!
That is one of them. Blood Rush.
Oh. Blood Rush. Yes.
Yeah, you know what Blood Rush is.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I'm like, oh my god, creatures. That was so obvious.
Yeah, and then you give creatures attacking creatures power and toughness boosts. Alright, the last one is, it used to be on Gruul stuff, but now it's associated with vampires. That's the biggest hint that I'm going to give you. Or I can give you more, but like...
For now.
Drain something?
It also has...
Blood something?
No, but it also has... Yep, blood something.
Blood, right?
It also has to do with damage.
Oh, no, blood, close. Bloodthirst, that's it.
Yep, there you go, Bloodthirst. Bloodthirst, the creatures enter with extra +1/+1 counters on it. So it's blood. It's worded Bloodthirst N. And if an opponent was dealt damage this turn, this creature enters the battlefield with N +1/+1 counters on it. Alright, we are done with Gruul Clans. And yeah, thank you everyone for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave a review or like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen. And yeah, just thanks for tuning in. We will see you next time. Yeah, next will be the Ikoria New Commander review, and then episode 20 is going to be the big one, big Ikoria set review, where we're going to be talking about all the formats, not just Commander. That's going to be a long episode. But anyways, thank you everyone for tuning in. You can email us your questions and concerns or literally anything at youngpyrocast@gmail.com.
Except there's one thing you can't email us, that you want our bank account.
I'm not giving you my bank account number. You cannot have my bank account number. I will give you Tiny the Bear, my giant stuffed bear's bank account number. It's 123456789 0. Anyways, yeah, go hack that one. His mother's maiden name is my name Jeff. Alright, we're done here. Thanks everyone. See you next time. Bye.
Bye guys.